irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
In studio. Oh my gosh, I have 1, 2, 3 plus me, 4 people, perfect people, perfect guest for 2 of our show, 2 Accent On show. 1 Accent on the channel 1 from 6 till 7 is the radio show. We are on the air more than 2.5 years, and Ilona Europa, I'm a host of my own show, and I love every moment of it. And then a week ago, I just start new show. I just started. How is the English? Help. Help.
Yes, I just started.
I just started. Why I'm saying that? Because we have very accented people in my studio, and they speak much better English than mine, but I don't care. I just started my another show, Accent on TV, the best of Poland and Europe. In USA and in the world. And this show, I'm hosting my co-host, who are just the hottest people around, Marek Bacik.
Hello.
And Marek Bacik is with me here. I love it because he is just looking into my computer screen, and he will be hopefully soon operating this big system.
Actually, was looking at our guests.
Oh, you did?
Good looking.
Our guests are perfect. Okay, but we are learning how to, everything what is on this computer will just introduce to another room, which we have cameras, and we'll be seeing our today's guest on the show number 2 from 7 till 8, special channel, and on LA Talk Radio video channel. Please, everybody goes to latalkradio.com and then see video channel and click from 7 till 8. This channel, see Accent On, the best of Poland and Europe, and always you will see all of us. Ilona likes to talk, everybody knows. I don't care sometimes how bad my English is. Nobody taught me how to do better way. Then I'm proud of what I learned on my own. Marek is here for almost 30 years in America also.
And it's still the same English like yours. So.
I think much better. All sounds better to me. Then I have this wonderful, just wonderful, beautiful friend of mine. She was a friend I think I know you maybe 8 months ago. I saw you first time, or 5 or 6. Beatka?
Yes.
Beata Pozniak.
Beata Pozniak.
Oh, my gosh. Beata Pozniak. If I can say in one line and describe who you are, because you have so many different talents that only Polish girls can have, great ladies. Then could you tell me, Beata Pozniak, who are you?
Gosh, can I leave that for everybody?
No.
I just want to say welcome to the Club of Accents.
Okay, you will not make me to not get this question to be answered. You mentioned that Polish people are very shy. We like to talk, but really we do not like to talk about ourselves.
That is correct.
But obviously, you are here for everybody to know you better. And that's the 50 minutes. And we have another gorgeous, very sexy man who plays saxophone. And he is just hot. And he also has an accent. Who are you, Mr. Reinhold?
Hello, everybody in Los Angeles and around the world. I'm very happy to be here with Ilona and her amazing show, and with her guests too. And it's a pleasure to be here.
And your name is?
Reinhold Schwarzwald.
Everybody repeats one more time.
Reinhold Schwarzwald.
Pretty good, actually.
I'm trying to,
It's he was learning. Yeah, Marek was learning in the car. We were learning.
Got to get the names right.
Isn't
yeah. It's a beautiful
name. Reinhold, one more time. It's a beautiful name. It's very strange for probably a lot of people's ears.
For most people, yes.
But you're Austrian, then you have right to have your name.
That's right.
This way.
Exactly,
then again, yeah. Reinhold.
Reinhold Schwarzwald.
Wow. Schwarzwald.
It means Black Forest.
It's beautiful.
Black Forest is in Germany, actually, but that's what it means, you know, Schwarzwald.
That's wonderful.
That's right, yeah.
And
nice.
Like I said, you are... instrumentalist, you are playing saxophone, and I just discovered not long ago that you sing beautifully also.
Thank you.
And
yes.
I'm hoping our engineer will just comes to our studio and add this one song that that's what I was like crazy about, but I will call him and hopefully we can in a small break add the song. If not, we'll be playing the song on our second show,
yes,
on TV show on camera again. I'm coming back to you, Beatko. I want a question to be answered. If you will describe yourself to somebody, somebody say, okay, hi Beata, who are you? What are you doing here? What you will say?
That is a great question, because every day I find myself that I'm learning about myself and I'm very different. And I might wake up with different thoughts, feelings, and things might affect my day. And I'll discover new things, and I might, you know, want to sculpt or paint or sing. And that's the beauty of being a human being. We have so many, all of us, so many untapped things that we can just dig deeper. And that's probably why I became an actor. I am just so fascinated with the human brain, mind, body, and keep, you know, I love discovering what's inside all of us.
I think you describe beautifully yourself, because when Marek and I, we were reading your bio again and again. Marek is amazing. He's so beautifully prepared. He really, really looked into your past, and now he and I know you even more, will know more. Very impressive. That's
he
very
looks
impressive.
Into my past like the Polish KGB. Yeah,
you know, we have to, you know, just want to make sure, you know.
He's going to ask all these questions.
That's right.
We want to bring a little Eastern Europe to this studio.
And we won't keep any secrets. And but Beata Pozniak's phone number is 818.
Beata.
You can find me on Facebook.
That's right.
Easier.
There you go.
I think our country is very proud of you. I want to believe. And I think America, in a way, opened the arm to you and your talent, acting talent. I always think that we need to focus on something that really broke you into this business in America. And please, you are the bestest.
No,
the bestest.
I
best person to just tell us how this happened, because the magic happened one day and you fought for this breakthrough like crazy and you got it. Could you tell us the Oliver Stone?
Oliver Stone. But, you know, it's not really about me. When I came here, I really wanted to find projects that could bridge Poland and America, bring both countries together. That's why I created this film called People on the Bridge, that it's based on a poem written by our Nobel Prize winner author, Wiesława Szymborska. And I was very much impressed by her because at the age of 73, she won a Nobel. Big inspiration. And yes, I am very proud. I'm from Poland. And, you know, she's our second female Nobel Prize winner besides Madame Curie.
Yeah.
But of course, we, you know, there's other well-known Polish people, from Lech Wałęsa to Miłosz Baszewicz Singer, to Raymond Sienkiewicz, they also won Nobel. And it's really nice. I think it's great. I love being here and also trying to find projects that I can show to the Americans. Look how great it is. You know, so I'm trying to bridge that together.
And do you think, because I have little snips of your voice,
yes,
very special. You have few beautiful books and samples of your vocals that was recorded for very important places. You will tell us a little bit more. And we have one. We have Stone. Would you like to play? Which one would you like to play? Because I have something from Random House. I want people to know your voice, because your voice over.
Well, there's two things. From Random House, that is, I did a couple of audiobooks. They were number one bestsellers. It's the history of Catherine the Great.
Yes.
And then Wiesława Szymborska.
That's what I want to play.
That is, one poem is called Conversations with a Stone, and that was a live recording at the Hammer Museum. And the other one is called Tortures.
And wow, that sounds dangerous.
Yeah, kind of good at the same time.
I think you were before, a few months ago, on my show, and I know I've played
Tortures. Tortures is great. Yeah, I was playing that.
But no, I have a stone, and that's what the engineer put stone, and perfect. We have no choice. Yeah. And
so no torture today.
I want to be tortured by that.
But you can torture us alive.
Well, no, these were topics I'm joining that interested Shimborska.
But do you remember a little bit? Can you just give us life a little bit performance, or will be hard for you? Do you have any lines from Torture?
Tortures. What's interesting, why I wanted Tortures, because Kecheng, they remixed my voice with a couple of great composers, like Zbigniew Preiser. But anyway, it's so, my voice kind of almost becomes male, then female, then like a child. It goes in so many places that sometimes, you know.
Everybody needs to see.
I know,
everybody needs
that's
to
a visual.
Switch from seven again, from seven to eight.
I'm already drifting.
Reinhard is like in his dreams right now.
So. I am so happy we have this show on TV, on camera, because some of my artists, and I will say 90% of my artists, they are worth 100% to be seen, and you are one of them. But right now, we'll be listening to you, okay? Listening to your voice.
I knock at the stone's front door. It's only me. Let me come in. I want to enter your insides, have a look around, breathe my fill of you. Go away, says the stone. I'm shut tight. Even if you break me to pieces, we'll all still be closed. You can grind us to sand. We still won't let you in. I knock at the stone's front door. It's only me. Let me come in. I've come out of pure curiosity. Only life can quench it. I mean to stroll through your palace, then go calling on a leaf, a drop of water. I don't have much time. My mortality should touch you. I'm made of stone, says the stone, and must therefore keep a straight face. Go away. I don't have the muscles to laugh. I knock at the stone's front door. It's only me. Let me come in. I hear you have great empty halls inside you, unseen, their beauty in vain, soundless, not echoing anyone's steps. Admit it, you don't know them well yourself. Great and empty. True enough, says the stone. But there isn't any room. Beautiful, perhaps, but not to the taste of your poor senses. You may get to know me, but you'll never know me through.
Oh, what a nice fade out. That was beautiful.
Just amazing, yeah.
And you are reading, we hear voices, the people are listening. This
is
live.
It's live. A beautiful. Live audience at the Hammer Museum. So
yeah, you can hear the audience in the back, yeah. It's
but
awesome.
So unexpected that people
would respond you know, to a poem.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And the moment that really they're supposed to respond right away, they really do,
it's
which means
great,
they
great.
Listen. But
That was at the Hammer Museum?
At the Hammer Museum,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that was great. Beautiful. Awesome performance, Sam. Fantastic.
You can actually imagine what you're saying. It's like, you know, just listen to your voice and you can imagine where you are actually there.
You get right into it.
Yeah.
You're right into the story within a second.
Right, it's amazing. Yeah, it's like, you know, makes you want to go and buy this thing right now.
Yep, yeah, exactly.
And read to our children. Sorry, not torture today, but we maybe maybe we can do it when we switch to another show.
We'll torture the sound engineer. Yes,
but I know I played this one a few months ago. Then everybody who wants to listen to our previous interview, please go to LA Talk Radio or iTunes. If you go to Accent On Radio Show and scroll down, you'll find Beata Pozniak interview from a few months ago. And I know we played and talked a lot about your, I call this past, but really that's what we can say. And future, I know you have something cooking, very good. You'll be pitching something very important. You are producing some movie, yes, and also...
Yes, there's two projects. One film that I am in as an actor. It is a film called All These Voices, and I play a Holocaust survivor. And the other film, I am one of the producers. It's called An Unknown Country, and it's directed by Iva Zelic, who is an Emmy Award-winning director. And the reason I wanted to support her in her vision is the story is very personal, intimate, and I wanted to help her because, you know, it's a very vulnerable place to share your own story. And the film is about people like her who come from Central Europe that during the war immigrated to Ecuador. That's why it's called An Unknown Country. They wanted to escape the Nazis.
Yeah.
And that was one of the countries that would accept Jews.
Interesting.
So it's interesting that this year, the reason there's so many like war movies, because this year is the 70th anniversary of the end of the war.
Right.
So May 8th. And that's why I have these two projects exactly this year to... You know, we all have.
But you
families.
Didn't plan this way. This just happened because all of this planning probably was 2-3 years ago, and now came out to the. Where is the release of the movie?
It's going to be in a couple of months now.
Wow!
Yeah,
congratulations.
Where is going to be released?
In the United. Now it's doing the festivals. Okay. Yes, it's doing the festivals right now, and.
Will you be appearing on the red carpets? Will you be going everywhere? Hopefully.
Hopefully, keeping my fingers crossed. It's more important that the film will be seen. And the reason I took it is that there are many, you know, war movies, Holocaust movies, but nobody ever made a film about Ecuador, Jews in Ecuador.
Don't put these two things together. Interesting. No, okay, now we little cover a little bit today. Today in your life, you have two wonderful things coming up right now. But I still want to know from your beautiful mouth and lips how all of this started in America. I know that you become an actor in Poland. You went, like most of actors, through schools, film schools, and you finished a very known film school in Łódź, yes?
Yes, yes. Well, I was born in Gdańsk. Many people know it as Home of Solidarity, Home of Solidarność.
Yeah.
Lech Walesa, there you go.
Popular name.
Yes. When I say I'm from Gdańsk, people say, oh, yeah, Lech Walesa.
Did you ever meet Lech Walesa there?
Yes, I did.
That's awesome, me too.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was part of the movement, and there's even, my mama in those days, you know, we had rations, like food coupons.
Right, right.
So in those days, you know, you would exchange... you know, in order to get books, you would give your coupons, rations for, you know, the sausages or butter for the month or something.
Cigarettes. So in those days,
what we would do, I would take, you know, sausages and bread to the shipyards where the workers would be on strike. So that's what I would do as a teenager, to support the workers. So this is the environment I grew up in. But I always had a dream to express myself freely, which was very difficult in those days, living behind the Iron Curtain, especially being from Gdańsk. And our apartment was exactly located between the shipyards and the main police station.
Wow, so you saw that.
Exactly, we were in the heat of everything.
Wow.
So anyway.
That's incredible.
That's how it started. So even when I was working in the theater later on as an actor, you could not say things how they were written by the author many times. We had a censor come in, and she or he would say, you can say that, or you cannot say that. So you felt very limited. Yeah. So anyway, I went to school. I got my master's from the Polish film school in Łódź.
Which is very prestigious school.
Very
actually.
Good school.
Right.
And after that, it was. I thought, you know, if I have a family, I do not want them to see what I'm going through. I mean, that's a book in itself, you know, what I had to do. I was, in those days, you know, there was a very well-known charismatic priest. His name was Ksiądz Jerzy Popiełuszko.
Oh, yeah.
So thanks to him, I got, you know, a place, an apartment in Warsaw, because in those days, you had, in order to work in a city, you have to have something called meldunek,
right.
And since I was from Gdańsk, I could not do it.
You have to
thanks
switch
to him,
over.
I had, so all these things that were happening in, you know, that were very intense for a little kid in those days, teenager, that just had dreams. Mm-hmm. This was the reality. Yeah. So anyway, so when I came here, I just thought, you know, I did not know what will happen and what kind of life I'll have, but it did not matter at a certain point. You just think you want to
get
out free, and with something unplugged, you know, something unplugged, I started, you know, doing art, I started basically learning English, and just, I got hungry for life. I discovered a new self. And like many of us, you know, that immigrated, we had to transplant ourselves. But I have to say, many of my friends, they came here when they were 5, 10, or 15, a teenager. I came here when I was 25.
Yeah, it's a little harder.
That's already very hard.
Yes.
Because you're already, you know, pretty
give
much a mature woman.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, you're between, between two countries, between two souls, and just the choice.
It's easier to transplant a young tree than a big tree with a trunk,
with
and that was
already.
Me. So did you arrive in Los Angeles first, or where?
No, I came to New York first.
Yeah. Okay.
Just because he could walk everywhere.
I did say, yeah, right, right.
And
subways and everything
that's
else.
That's why subways, and you could talk to people. It reminded me a little bit of Europe.
Yes.
Yeah. So it felt
with all these pockets of immigrant pockets.
There's a lot of
that's
Polish community back there, too.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And it was very nice in that way, and you could feel you could get a little bit bigger support from the Polish people over there.
Right.
And that was very neat. We tried to do that.
And how long took you from just little discovering you in another country and try to feel probably if you can stay here for longer? Because the answer wasn't easy. You didn't know that you will be living forever in America. You still, you were a young girl. But you knew you want to act. You knew you want something bigger. And
well, I never knew that it will actually happen. I never knew. I was just open for possibilities and just wanted to find out how do actors work here? How does it work? And then I was told by someone that I have to buy a newspaper called Backstage, and there'll be ads. I said, what do you mean by ads? Just like ads for furniture or selling car. I didn't understand that that's how actors would get hired.
Mm.
And then they will have an agent. In Poland, in those days, nobody would know what is an agent or a manager.
Mm.
Or
you could
actually be
some agencies bigger and small. They represented singers and musicians.
But not in those
times.
But not
times. For, yeah.
No,
right.
That changed after Lech Wałęsa became president.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So how did it work when you were an actor before that, in those times in Poland? Or how
very good question. So it was very important and very prestigious if you become hired by a very good theater.
Mm-hmm.
And the director of the theater company, he would be like your mentor, your artistic father, your leader, your agent. So if somebody would want to approach me and say, oh, can I star in a, I don't know, in a TV series or a film, I would have to go to him and ask him for a permission.
Through him.
That is correct.
And if he didn't approve, then
your future shot.
Mr. Reinhold, I just love that you are involved with this discussion.
Yeah.
Because even when Europe is so small, Europe in the 70s and a little bit earlier, I was so divided, and eastern part of Europe and western part of Europe had so nothing in common sometimes.
Well, and I have I'm part of that history too, because my mother is from Hungary, so
okay. And my name is Hungarian, Ilona.
Yes,
now we know more about each other.
So I knew also what it felt to visit family behind the Iron Curtain and what the feel was at that time, being from Austria, being born in Austria and growing up in Austria, and then going over to Hungary to visit family
family, and I got the feel and was there, of course, many, many times during those times as well. And
yeah, but when we listen to Beata, oh, we love to say Swede way. Beata,
which kinds are like Bacchic.
There you go.
It's all the cute way.
That's right. That's a cute way.
Cute way to say.
You know, we're kind of like related by now.
By cuteness. But when you listen to her biography from years that she was in my country, in our country, in Poland, it seems a little more painful or more harder or more just tougher to come from Eastern Europe.
Oh, most definitely.
Did you feel
most
like you were luckier that you were in Austria? Because for whatever reason, all are in America, then because we are searching, looking for something. I'm a singer-songwriter, and I have my own past also, and happy, very happy past in my own country. Yeah. I become an American citizen because I was married to a gentleman for many, many years who was an American.
So you got married for the papers.
Yeah, they have you can say like that, but really not. I didn't speak English when I met him. Then even worse. Boom. Yeah. If I only knew 20-something years later, maybe I will not make this mistake. But fact is that I become in America also a person like you, but I'm searching, researching myself, who I am, and in so many ways I'm changing my life. Yeah. But you, Reinhold, you are just a musician, and you seems like your road was luckier, easier, because I think you were always playing saxophone. You were dreaming of being in America for a reason too, to play with the biggest, the best names in the industry, and you are doing steady the same journey, except took you from Austria to many, many countries all around the world.
There's a few bumps in the road, you know.
Like I want to hear. We want to hear.
Gotta be a few bumps always.
We want to hear that. Let's start a little sad.
It wasn't not all the roses everywhere.
Oh my gosh, he's becoming red.
I love it.
You can't see it, but we'll see it next hour.
We'll see it next hour.
If you guys could see how red I am right now, that's.
I love
it. Oh, everybody can switch to TV, to video channel.
We'll see what happens.
True artist, that is in touch with his feelings. I love that.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
You need to give us a little bit sad stories, fun stories, and good stories.
Yeah, of course. Well, going back to your first question, how was it to grow up in Austria? Like, in, you know, compared to growing up in, you know, in an Eastern European country like Hungary or Poland, and I could see both. Well, it was very interesting in a way, and mysterious and intriguing too. I mean, to be in the small country of Austria that was 100 years ago, before end of World War One, was this empire in the middle of Europe that also touched Poland. Actually,
we have a common part
history.
Of Poland,
yeah, we do. Well, we do.
Exactly. We have a lot of history together, and those were the better times, right? And they were like so then came times that were really terrible and awful. And then, growing up in Austria, which is to the north, is the Czech Republic today, and then also a little bit to the north, northeast is today Slovakia. Mm-hmm. But that was always one country. It was Czechoslovakia, right, and to the east is Hungary. And then to, to the south was Yugoslavia.
That's what your mom is from, right? From
Hungary. Yeah, exactly. And then to the south is Yugoslavia, right. which was also...
All the troubles, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it was kind of strange to be in this place where 2 hours from where you live, because Austria is small today, hours is a total different world. And I remember, and I have this memory that I was a little boy. I was about 3 years old, I think, or maybe even less, maybe 2.5 years old or something. And we wanted to go to Hungary to visit family of my mother, and we had to go through all this paperwork. It was the visa and everything.
Yeah.
And my mom was already Austrian, too, Austrian citizen, but as a former Hungarian, you know, she could still have that visa, but then it was more complicated for me to get that, and it was like all this thing, and it was kind of very
scary.
I was very scared. Yeah. And at one point, I remember we did this one trip, and where for some reason I couldn't go with her, so my dad stayed behind.
That's me applying for child.
At the border, literally at the border, where my mom wanted to go and see her father, actually, and wanted to basically visit her family. And so we were staying behind at the border, and
they said no.
Basically, we're just walking up and down for miles, and you know, and then she was going over there, and you know, she spent some time with her family and everything. So I mean, it was like, yeah, it was very scary.
You need to write music about that. Yeah. It sounds like really, you will be sounding so beautifully on a saxophone, because we'll be crying, whining, and sadness will be there for sure. Uh-huh. And I see this picture. Yeah, mm-hmm. I had a very similar situation. My daddy was from Lviv, from the Russia part of mm-hmm. Poland before, and my mother just decided to find a family of her husband. My dad never wanted to look back. He never wanted to say where he's from, how this happened that he was in Poland and not anymore in Russia. Like I said, Lviv was still Polish, and that was intriguing for me. I was also, you know, 6, 7, 8 years old girl asking daddy question. He never wanted an answer, but one day I remember my dad weeping a little bit, his tears, which I never saw my daddy being like sad, very sad. My mom said, I think I found his family through Red Cross, because I want him to know he has a family somewhere. Mm-hmm. And she found it. My mother was going through all this paper crazy work, tough job to go to Russia from Poland with no passports, no nothing. Oh my gosh, how this poor lady with no education, very small education, got through all this paperwork and found my father, his family. We were going every year for vacation there, and he was just whole person from this moment on, because he found his
youth, of course, how important that is, and it's important to connect with the roots, actually, and I mean, I feel very strongly connected to also to the Hungarian people, and through my mother, and I mean, I remember when we were traveling back, always, it was like going back to Austria from Hungary. They were searching the car because they were thinking we would hide
car
somebody.
Strings, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We would hide a person, right. You know. And so it was always about that. But then there's all those other memories that are amazing from Hungary, with all the, you know, my awesome family, the whole, you know, the feeling with my cousins and my uncles and aunts and you know, and being there, and this great food and the music and all the exuberance.
Hungarians are very happy people, so
exactly,
right, they have a lot of fun,
the exuberance, right. and the passion, and that's a very strong thing. And you arrive there, and I don't know how it is in Poland, because I have not been to Poland, unfortunately, but I hope I'm gonna try.
In September you're gonna go.
That's right.
Yeah. Collaboration with Ilona, that's what you're doing.
Exactly.
I really think it's a place for all of us to just go back to our countries and have these tiny little tours and just see what we can bring from America back to Poland.
Yeah, I mean, all this passion is like you would walk into, like, you come back to, you know, see a part of your family, and immediately in the hallway, before, in the kitchen, would start to talk, right? Yeah. And stay in telling stories.
Right,
and
right.
Everybody would start telling stories. And like that could go on for hours before anybody would even think about sitting down in the living room.
The kitchen was the best place, actually.
The kitchen was the place where things happened.
This day, that was happening in our lives. Yeah. Okay, then, time for music. I still need to find out how you became or you dreamt to become a saxophone player.
Become a musician, yeah. My parents are both musicians, actually. My mother, she plays piano, and my dad plays guitar. They both sing, and so I kind of grew up in that musical world. My dad, we were traveling. We're traveling around. He was a professional musician, playing in nightclubs every night, and you know, like 6 nights a week or 7 nights a week. We were like gypsies. You know, like 1 month we would be like in Stuttgart, and the next week we would be like next month in Karlsruhe, and another we were in Germany, Switzerland, Austria. Those were the countries where he was playing with the band.
Did he play jazz though?
No, he played music for dance. It were dance clubs.
Okay.
Yeah, but they played all kinds of music. Right. It was a very broad variety of repertoire that you had at that time, and I have this anecdote that my mom, she was we were in a ski resort in Austria, and so my dad played there. He had an engagement for 4 months, and so we were all there up high up in the Alps, 2,000 meters high.
Beautiful
in a small
place.
Village, yeah, in Obergurgl in Ötztal, and so my mom, sometimes she took me to go to listen to my dad at the 5 o'clock tea, which was at the time, you know, you had the nightclub was playing like music played like from 9 to 2 in the morning, but then when people come back from skiing, they would be And at 4 o'clock, the slopes close, and then they come, and they have like a little, you know, like a drink and dance a little bit for an hour. It was the 5 o'clock tea at the time. It was a tradition in this Austrian ski resort. And so I was supposed to go there with her, and so, you know, how, you know, like women take a little time to prepare themselves and everything.
Really?
And
no, come on, man.
I got impatient, and I said, well, go outside and play outside and wait for me there. But then apparently what happened is, like, when she was ready and she went outside, then I was gone. Yeah. And you know, nightfall. Was and so she was really very very worried about me, you know, there was meters of snow and you know and
yeah, it's great,
and then
yeah.
She looked for me everywhere, and what happened is I just had taken off. It was like 3.5 years old at the time. I had taken off by myself.
Wow.
And walked to the club and arrived at the club, and the, you know, because I knew where the club was, so it was
you wanted to walk there already.
It was about a mile away, but it was okay, you know. So I walked to the club, and then I just sat down, and then I remember my daddy was playing. All the people were dancing. It was so much fun. And I was thinking, oh, I love this. This is great. And then my dad was looking down and I was thinking, why is he here? Where's his mom? And it was like, so then she found me at the club. She was happy to find me.
And when the first time did you decide that saxophone is the instrument of your choice?
Yeah, that came actually later. You know, my dad wanted to teach me guitar, and he did. He tried, and he tried well. He did a good job, you know, in trying. But the thing is then always, you know, it's like as a son, you don't want to play the instrument that your father's playing.
Yeah, you want to be the rebellion one.
That rivalry.
Yeah, you go, hey.
No, I'm not going to play that, you know. So then I went to the piano. I took piano lessons.
You got beautiful fingers for piano.
No, I got big hands. Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You can get the keys.
Yeah, that's right. And so then from the piano, I went to the clarinet, actually. And then from the clarinet, I transitioned to the saxophone. So that's how that happened.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. Now we are going to this moment that we'll be listening to you. Okay, we have Feel Good and we have Sax Dance. I have my favorite. I want a sax dance, but people can Feel Good is a great title, too, and great song also. Which one would you like us to play first?
Oh, what's your favorite? I mean, like, I can't...
You have no choice. Yeah. I'm pushing my
That's why she's asking.
Thank you.
Okay, Marek.
Oh, wow, Reinhardt, man. Woo! Damn.
Marek,
but you're a woman.
Yeah. Marek, you
kind of feel like one right now. Holy man.
It's all
I think I love you.
Oh, that's great. Thank you. I didn't know that I had this effect on all people.
Yeah, what are you doing tonight? You know, me and you, we go out to, we celebrate.
We celebrate.
I'm that's joining. What
yeah, and Beata's joining it.
I'm joining.
You know, there
Beata,
you go.
Beata's joining. You know? Awesome. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Okay. We have one more song that I would love to play, and also I would love to talk a little bit to Beata. Beata, I have one more sample of your reading from Random House Audio. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then I would like to do... Just push the button and we'll see, and you will explain us a little bit the story behind it, okay?
Okay. The pain is sharp, piercing, a burning dagger's thrust inside her skull, somewhere behind the right eye. It hits just as she lifts her quill out of an inkwell. Her hand freezes. The quill dropped stains the letter she was just about to sign. The mantel clock begins to chime. She recalls being frightened as a child to see the hands of a clock turned back, believing time itself might go back, and she would be forced to live again through everything she had already lived through, depriving her of the adventure of the future. The pain doesn't stop or diminish. It is already 9 o'clock, and she is still behind with the reading she must finish before her secretary arrives. She considers calling Zotov, her valet, but dismisses the thought quickly. The headache will go away by itself, but once her old servant begins to fuss, she won't be able to send him away. Pani, her Italian greyhound, sniffs her mistress's hand with fierce concentration, licking the skin of her palm. The dog is slender and fine-boned, a direct descendant of beloved Zemira, who lies buried in the Tsarskoye Selo gardens. "I've nothing for you there," she mutters. She tries to pat Pani's head, but her right hand is strangely wooden, stiff, and unwieldy. So she settles for an awkward caress, noting thick drops of pus in the corners of her dog's eyes. Just like Zemira, Pani is prone to lingering infections. Outside her study, pattering feet and muted voices dissolve into furtive silence. The Empress is working. The Empress must not be disturbed. She stands. With her left hand, she grips the edge of her desk, clumsily sending the papers flying. How intriguing, she thinks, watching the vellum pages glide on invisible currents, hover in the air, silent like birds of prey. Pani, too, watches, head cocked to the side, a wagging.
Beata, could you tell us a little bit story behind this reading?
Sure. This is a fragment from an audiobook called Empress of the Night, written by Eve Stashniak. This is actually book number 2. Because book number 1 was The Winter Palace, and it was number 1 international bestseller. And it's a 19-hour audiobook. It went so well that book number 2 arrived, and that is Empress of the Night, also history of Catherine the Great. I was so excited to be offered this character to work on because, my gosh, she was the most feared woman in the world at one time. And I just loved reading this book because it's always was a constant battle between love and politics. What a complex woman. So both books, audiobooks, are 19 hours long. I had to work on 78 characters.
Amazing.
Wow.
That's what I want to go to.
And
accents?
Accents. Yeah, well, accent, this is very interesting. In the United States, it's not popular to hire an actor with an accent.
Mm-hmm.
All the audiobooks that you'll find on audible.com, you'll find an American-speaking actor or someone from England where they would have a proper British accent. Right. Yes. So in a way...
I wanted to ask you this, actually. I wanted to ask you how it was for you as coming to this country with an accent and wanting to act, you know. So.
That's right. It's very challenging. And that's what's wonderful about Random House, because it is the largest publisher in the world. And to risk, you know, hiring an actor that, you know, has an accent, it was risky. And that's why I was so happy that it became number one bestselling book.
Good for you. Yeah, congratulations.
It, well,
wow, that's amazing.
It's good for other actors that,
with the accent.
With the accent. So it's like maybe paving a path. I don't know.
But right, you opened the road for them.
And that's what, I think that's what's exciting.
I hope so, actually.
Yes.
I find it's very, it's interesting, specifically in storytelling. And I think it's so compelling. It's charming, too. I always, I love accents, you know, any accent. I think accents are just wonderful things, you know. So it's like...
It's magical. It's for sure magical.
Right. Exactly.
It brings some depth, and you know there's something magical behind it.
And what's nice, they hired someone that is, you know, with an authentic accent, not someone that can do an accent.
Right.
And that's what was nice. And I just really want to acknowledge them, and really I want to say how grateful I am to get that opportunity.
I'm watching the clock. It drives me crazy. I wish we could talk a little bit longer, but we can, because like I said, in 10 minutes, we'll be starting new show. Everybody can see us in 10 minutes. We'll be on the Best of Poland, Accent on the Best of Poland and Europe on video channel on LA Talk Radio. And then everybody can go anytime when they feel like and download also from the site, LA Talk Radio site, download all, watch live, and then go to YouTube channels, which under Accent on the Best of Poland, we are there too. And we'll be having many special channels for all our amazing guests, because I believe world need to know more about all of us. The Best of Poland and Europe is yet to come in 10 minutes.
And talking about accents, if I just may throw this in, but I think I have a pretty sexy voice.
Oh, no kidding.
I just say that. Okay.
But no, you do. We will give you a voice, because I want to play a little bit of Feel Good.
Okay?
And I think it's the best 3 minutes that we'll spend here to feel good, because we will close our computer and we'll
and
move.
And can you get his... That's what I wanted to say.
If Random House is listening right now, here is a guy who has a German accent in English, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
But who has a good accent. Voice, so I would be interested.
Yeah, very sexy.
That's a good character, too.
Sure.
So, yeah.
But with the music, can you get that on your website? Or
yes.
Where?
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
yes. Yeah. We'll have all information on Accent On and LA Talk Radio, how to get. Everybody can go to Accent On Facebook right now and check our guest websites and find the music. But for right now, before we need to say bye bye, feel good.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.